Welcome in to the new PFF NFL Daily. Here's a recent snippet from the PFF NFL podcast.
Now let's talk about what the dream scenario is for each team currently picking in the top 10.
Ooh, okay.
So it's got to start with Chicago. We talked about this a little bit last week with Mike. Me and Steve talked about it a bit. What is your dream scenario for the Chicago Bears, given that they start with the number one overall pick?
I think the dream scenario for the Chicago Bears is Indianapolis gives you three first-round picks to go from 1 to 4, or like whatever it is.
Right.
That's the dream.
My only stipulation for any trade haul is that one of the first-round picks has to be next year.
Yeah.
I want two first-round picks next year, just in case.
Oh, for 100%.
The Fields thing doesn't work.
Yeah, and Ballard doesn't seem to be like a guy who's going to give up three first-round picks, especially to move from 4 to 1. So I think that what ends up happening is you get a 1 this year, you get 4 this year, you get a first-round pick next year, and maybe you get, you know, a day 2 pick 3 years from now.
Or like, I think a lot of that, though, depends on just how frustrated Jim Irsay is.
Not only does that go into it, but also I think there are a lot of other teams that would consider moving up to number one, right? Number one's going to be for sale for the Houston Texans at 2, the Indianapolis Colts at 4, the Vegas Raiders at 7, perhaps Atlanta at 8, probably not, though, Carolina at 9, Tennessee at 11, New York Jets at 13, Washington Commanders at 16, all of those teams will call the Chicago Bears about potentially moving up to number one. But I think their dream scenario is you don't want to go too far down,
right?
Because you still want to get Jalen Carter or Will Anderson, but getting some extra first-round picks and moving down. That's
Yeah, I think 4 is absolutely probably the dream scenario, particularly if you can get that first-round pick next year.
But Ballard's going to know that too.
Yes.
And he's going to use that as leverage against them.
Also wonder, though, like just how good the scenario for them is. Like how good would the package be just to move down that one spot? Just from Houston, like particularly when you factor in the fact that Houston screwed that up by winning a random game at the end of the year, like what could Chicago get simply from moving down one spot to draft a player they were going to draft at 1 anyway? That theoretically could be a dream scenario as well.
I just love that Chicago has the number one overall pick because it gives us some great conversations over the next whatever couple of months.
So that brings us to Houston. After shooting themselves in the foot, mm-hmm. What is their dream scenario?
Dream scenario is. I mean, the dream scenario is Chicago stays at number one and takes a defensive player, and then they get Bryce Young at number 2 overall. It's so funny. We did so many mock drafts for Houston throughout the season, and it was just Bryce Young in all of them, And now they win a pointless game at the end of the season, and now they might not have that chance. So I just think it's a quarterback one way or the other. You'd love for it to be Bryce Young, but if it's not Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, whoever it's going to be at 2, you just have to get a young quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the sequence of optimal scenarios for them is number 1, the Bears are stuck at 1, they pick a player that isn't a quarterback, and you get the guy you were going to draft at number 1 overall anyway,
right?
And the fact that you won the game doesn't actually matter.
Yeah.
Number 2, somebody moves to number 1 and they draft a quarterback that you weren't going to take. So maybe the Colts love Will Levis and they can move all the way to number 1. And
that is the dream.
Jim Irsay wanders out there, stamps his flag in the ground, and he's drafting Will Levis, and then you get Bryce Young. And then number 3 is probably you trade and get, like, make sure you get your guy. I think that's probably better than not getting him if you believe he's the guy, Bryce Young. I think that's probably ahead in my sequence of scenarios.
For Houston?
For Houston. Like, it's probably better to trade to number 1 and get Bryce Young versus sit there, let somebody else do it, and then you pick number 2.
No, if you're Houston, like you said, it's annoying that you would have to trade up to number 1. But if you like Bryce Young more than any other quarterback in this class and it's not even close, pay the price, whatever it costs. Like, you won the game. You can't change that.
Right.
Don't compile a negative with more negatives and end up not getting the quarterback that you think is going to absolutely change the future.
All right, number 3, Arizona. This is difficult because they're in such a state of flux overall right now.
This is another spot where I would trade down if I was Arizona. Okay. I don't think Arizona is anywhere close to competing. J.J. Watt was the best player on that defensive line. J.J. Watt is gone. The rest of that defense needs a ton of work. I think the secondary already needs a ton of work. They need work at the linebacker level too, even though they drafted a linebacker over the last couple of drafts. The offensive line desperately needs work. They're talking about trading DeAndre Hopkins. Kyler Murray's going to miss basically all of next year as well. So if I'm Arizona, you need help in both trenches. Could you draft a trench player at 3 sure, you could draft yourself Will Anderson at number three and be happy with it, or Jalen Carter if you wanted to. But I think the most advantageous move for Arizona is knowing that if quarterback goes 1 and 2, and if the only other one in the conversation that a lot of people like is whoever's left between Will Levis and CJ Stroud, you then also have bargaining power with right. any of those other teams you could trade down to. So, for example, I look at Carolina, right? If Carolina gets outbid for number one overall, if Chicago doesn't want to move all the way down to 9, and Indianapolis goes up to get their quarterback, Houston then takes their quarterback at 2, brother, Carolina needs a quarterback. They can't sit at 9. They just can't sit there at 9, especially knowing that Vegas is sitting at 7.
Yeah.
Right? And especially, you know, knowing that you've got Seattle and Detroit, maybe they're teams that are willing to move. They have a ton of flexibility because they have extra first-round picks too. So if you're Carolina, then Arizona might be in a spot where they go, all right, we'll trade down to 9. We'll draft what OT1 in this class at 9. We'll draft, you know, a Miles Murphy, Tyree Wilson, or whoever it is at 9. They just need to get better in the trenches. And I don't think they have to do it at 3.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57. They get all the Super Bowl action you need because new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get on the Super Bowl 57 excitement with DraftKings Happy Hour Super Boosts. Wow, this is great. Check out the check the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Okay, check it every day, 6 to 9 Eastern, to see what prop bet will be boosted. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code PFF. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code PFF. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details.
For as good as I think Will Anderson and Jalen Carter are, this Arizona Cardinals team is nowhere close to a Jalen Carter or Will Anderson away from being good. I think they're a long ways away from being good, actually. So I would tell you the dream scenario for Arizona is trade down to 9, get some extra draft capital next year, and continue to build that roster the way they need to.
I mean, I think the single biggest thing is that Murray's hurt. Like, you're not, you know, you're not talking about a team where even with everything they've got going wrong for them right now, they would have Kyler Murray starting week one and everything would look great, you know, 100% healthy. Like, they're a team staring into next year where they might not have Kyler Murray healthy for most of the year, if mm-hmm. not all of it. Like, that's a tough spot to be in. Indianapolis, number 4.
I mean, the dream scenario for them is that it doesn't cost them too much to move up to number 1. I don't know if they can live in a world where they just like sit back at number 4 and just take whoever's
That's
left.
Probably too dream, right?
Like right,
it's
right.
too much of a dream that they can, well,
the dream is Bryce Young. That's the answer to the question.
Well, so the dream is either Bryce Young, but maybe the real dream is that they actually think somebody's better than Bryce Young, and then it's possible to draft them at 4. Like, if you happen to believe that either Stroud or Levis either is better right now or has a higher ceiling.
See, but there's no, to me, and we're getting into kind of like what you said there, we're like, that's almost like too much of the dream.
Right.
Like, to me, there's no way 3 picks go by and Bryce Young doesn't get chosen.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So if you believe that either Levis or Stroud, either right now or in the future, is the better player over Bryce Young.
Oh,
you can sit at 4.
Yes.
Let somebody draft Bryce Young,
sure.
And then all you got to do is get by 2 more picks before sure. your guy comes up.
The dream scenario for the Indianapolis Colts is drafting your ideal quarterback, whoever it is, for the cheapest price.
Right.
Whether that is Bryce Young and you got to move up to 1 and just hoping it doesn't cost you literally your entire next 2 years' drafts. Or whether it's sitting at number 4, only having to use 1 draft pick on the guy who might be QB2 in this class, might be QB3 in this class, but that you actually think that is the best.
So
there's just so many different avenues that Indianapolis.
Just playing the either-or scenario, if they have to give up, let's say, 3 first-round picks to move to number 1 to get Bryce Young, Bryce Young plus 3 first-round picks, or C.J. Stroud or Will Levis without moving?
I think Bryce is the best,
right?
By far.
But that's not the question.
So, but that's the thing is that I am not a proponent of bargain bin shopping at quarterback. If you have a quarterback that you think is better and you have a chance to go get him, go get him. That's how I view it.
Yeah, but at some point the price is relevant, right? Like
No. I'm not saying that the price is irrelevant, but like you have to do it if you're Indianapolis at this point. What are you doing if not? Because if you sit at four, what if you sit at four and you go, okay, well, we like Bryce Young clearly the most, but like we also like Will Levis. Okay, well, what if Will Levis is gone? Are you just taking C.J. Stroud? So you're taking a guy that like, yeah, okay, we liked him. How much does that change what you do in the future?
But if Young goes one, you probably only have to get by one pick. Because essentially, like either...
I don't know if that's the case.
Well, Houston... I mean, either Houston or somebody else drafting to one is taking
I think
right?
Carolina is... Well, go ahead. Yeah, keep going.
At which point, like one of your picks is probably Chicago, who aren't going to take the quarterback. Mm-hmm. The other one is Arizona. So you're relying on somebody trading out of that to draft the one other quarterback ahead of you. Like if Bryce Young goes number one, I would say there's a pretty good chance that the next quarterback makes it to Indy.
So in this scenario, I think that Carolina would probably be the one to get up to one. So because Carolina, I think, is going to be very desperate. I think Carolina is going to want to be really aggressive for a quarterback. I think they're sick of it. I think they're sick of the quarterback carousel. I don't think they're going to want a veteran. I think they're going to want to invest in somebody. So in that scenario, I think it's probably Carolina that's moving up to one. Quarterback goes one. Quarterback goes two. And then if you're okay rolling the dice and thinking that Arizona's not going to move, which maybe they're not, you know, that's all the intel that you do. You try to figure it out. Like,
right.
Perhaps Arizona's not even thinking about that. Perhaps Arizona's like, oh, we need a defensive player. Will Anderson's on the board. He's an unbelievable defensive player. We'll take Will Anderson at three. I mean, then are you okay with that at four? Maybe. But again, it goes back to just what I said. I'm not in the... You don't want to overpay. You don't want to get over aggressive. You don't want to burn yourself too hard. But when you're in a situation where you need a quarterback and you need a quarterback badly, and you clearly have one that you like more than another in a class, I'm not about sitting back. I'm just right. Not.
Seattle, number five.
Seattle can go a couple of different directions. I think that they definitely need help on defense. They need a second corner opposite Tariq Woolen. You can kick Kobe Bryant inside if that's the case. But I think the biggest need for them, especially with their first pick here in the first round, is defensive line. They need help at basically every defensive spot. Uchenna Nwosu was great. They drafted Boye Mafe last year, but they might want a more heavy-handed five-tech edge player, less of a speed guy. So like a Miles Murphy, maybe somebody that you look into. A Will Anderson could obviously potentially be available, even though he's a lighter guy. Jalen Carter, I think, would be absolutely perfect for them. But I think it's something along the defensive line. I think one of Will Anderson or Jalen Carter making it to five is the dream scenario for them.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like Jalen Carter falling this far and Seattle getting would be
silly.
As good as he can get.
Yeah.